How do I get my stories? I have this book called The Necronomicon. Unlike Mr. Brennan, I generally construct my stories very carefully. For the kind of mind that I have, though, I start at the end and work backwards. Very much the way a writer for a comedian does a monologue for him, in which there's going to be some kind of twist or switch or topper or payoff. But I try to look for that particular twist or switch or topper or payoff in the obvious of the everyday. I think the best way to do this is to give you a story example. I don't know how many of you are old enough to be familiar with this particular story. It's one called Catnip. And what triggered this story off was merely the hearing over and over again this common phrase, common in the 1940s anyway. What's the matter with you? The cat cut your tongue? I said, everybody listens to this. Everybody hears it. What if the cat has got somebody's tongue? That's a rather nasty idea. All right. I got into the hows then through why, asking myself, why would a cat bite off someone's mouth? Maybe the cat wasn't just an ordinary cat. What would it be? Perhaps a witch's familiar. Why would it be activated or motivated to do so? Because perhaps somebody had harmed or killed the witch. Why would somebody harm or kill the witch? Might be somebody that had a grudge against her. Why would they have a grudge against her? Because the character was a rather despicable, plain truth, he was a nasty little creep. So I'm now at the front of my story. I'm now at the beginning. I have the beginning. I write a story about a nasty little creep who gets in trouble with a witch, inadvertently burns her house down, kills her, is then pursued by her familiar who is a cat, and finally the cat launches itself at him through his bedroom window while he's cowering in bed and burrows into his throat, and Mama calls up, what's the matter, Ronnie? Is the cat got your tongue? And that's how I did it. When I got into writing, it was in prehistoric times. And we didn't even have typewriters. We come out of the cave and get a block of stone, and we would hack something out on the stone, then an editor would take it away and chisel it in the final form. Well, millenniums have passed since then, and most writers are still hacks, and most editors are still chiselers. There are probably two reasons why I find it easier to write fantasy than to write science fiction. The first is a question of early influences. For example, the work of Gahan Wilson, which I've been familiar with ever since I was a little boy. I read my first Manly Wade Wellman story, Back to the Beast, in 1927, I believe.
I think that's right.
And my first Frank Belknap Long story in the same year. And these people were giants in the fantasy field. They were a profound influence on me. Mr. Brennan's work came along a trifle later, but by that time I was thoroughly hooked, and I was more interested in reading the works of other fantasy writers than I was in science fiction writing per se. The other reason is this. I was always something of a rebel and a nonconformist, and I resented the fact that in science, the stories, at one time at least, had to be based on solid scientific laws, principles and postulates which could not be violated. I wanted to be free to mold an imaginary world in any shape, manner, or form that I conceived of it. there's a much greater degree of latitude in fantasy. In other words, another way of putting it, I could be much sloppier and consequently enjoyed myself more. And I think to the undisciplined mind, fantasy will always have a stronger emotional appeal.